opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
He hosts the Starting Lineup Monday through Friday on Sirius XM NBA. He's also on the YES Network. For now. Frank, dude, you have any more jobs? You going to be putting your hat in the ring for the Knicks head coaching job?
I could definitely use the money. I like how your producer gave me the good walk-up music, too. That's a producer that's thinking. There you go.
He was paying attention. All right, Frank, let's get right into it. First, I want to get your take. I've heard some reports. I've talked to some people. Do you feel like this decision to move on from Tom Thibodeau was all Leon Rose, not James Dolan?
No. Oh, come on. Leon Rose was Tom's agent. He's been his friend for 30 years, and Leon is very conservative by nature. So you're telling me, after the Knicks made it to their first conference finals in 25 years, the first hire that Leon Rose ever made, he thought, you know what? We probably need to get rid of this guy. Now, if they had meetings over like a week and things settled down a little bit and maybe 2-3 weeks after the season, maybe that's something different. I think everyone was pretty emotional. I'm sure some of the players, you know, probably in those exit interviews and their reports that Jim Dolan was actually a part of that. So the Knicks acted, I think, based on emotion. Look at the comparison. Minnesota made it to back-to-back conference finals. You know, they lose. It's not Chris Finch needs to go, and we have to make all these dramatic moves. Their GM, President Tim Connolly, he has a press conference to discuss the season that they had. Go back to last year. You know, Rick Carlisle, who, you know, we all know is a very good coach, his team blew. I was at that game up in Boston. They blew game one to Boston in the conference finals. They then got swept. Did Indiana fire Rick Carlisle? Did they make it seem like the sky was falling? They looked at it like, you know what, we made a pretty good jump. And that's the thing that I don't understand about the Knicks. And I don't need the Knicks fans to tell me we're here to win a championship. Yes, I'm well aware of that. So are the other 30 teams in the league. Basically, every professional team wants to win a championship. So do the sports fans. It doesn't make you unique. But the Knicks had a really good season. Compared to the last 25 years, it was an outstanding season. You knocked off the defending champs. I don't think they looked at it from a 30,000-foot view. I think they just acted on emotion. They got rid of the coach, and now they have to find someone. Good luck with that.
Do you think Jalen Brunson's on board with this?
Probably not, but, you know, I mean, I think it's a little bit different, you know, where he is right now in the league and maybe the age that he's at. I think Patrick Ewing would have put up a bigger fight, but, you know, maybe Jalen Brunson, personality-wise, I'm sure they knew how he felt. Obviously, they didn't really care that much how he felt. I don't know. You know, it's funny, too, Sal, and you see all this stuff. When you see everyone telling you why the coach should go, and, you know, all of a sudden everyone is John Wooden. They start telling you about the offense isn't creative enough, and he doesn't use the bench. No one ever brings up the results. How are the results? They won 50-plus games back-to-back seasons. They made it to the conference finals. They knocked off the defending champs. So I don't understand how when they lose against – so they beat Detroit, they beat Boston against Indiana. They have to use more of the bench because they can't play their two best players together because they're not good defensive players. So now you have to use a little bit more of your bench, and everyone's saying, see, aha, he should have been using the bench all season long. They didn't use the bench against Boston, and they won. And they lost Indiana. So why are you saying should he use the bench, the end-all, be-all? It's bizarre.
You think
all my years covering the NBA, when I went to the finals and it was Michael Jordan and then later on with Steph Curry. We never sat around saying, I wonder how come the ninth man didn't play. Nobody ever said that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a ridiculous conversation. BT and I have gotten into it as far as the bench goes. I understand people, the minutes police, and they think that that's an issue, but and maybe against Indiana, different story. I can't be focused on the eighth or ninth player on the team. I'm more focused on the superstar, which brings me to Karl Anthony Towns. You think this has to do with Karl Anthony Towns and maybe him not being able to be coached properly by Tibbs?
No, I think he's coached properly by him. I think, you know, he had a really good year. He finished, he make All-NBA third team. You know, Karl came to the Knicks with the reputation that he's not a good defensive player. So it's not breaking news that he struggled defensively. That's a big part of it. And I think, you know, when you're dealing in the pressure cooker that is New York, and I like Karl a lot, I think he's getting way too much criticism. But when he, you know, hurt his knee in game four, and then, of course, it came out, you know, he's questionable and whether or not he could play. I knew he would play well in game five because I think he felt like the pressure was off of him. If I don't play well, I could blame my knee. If I play well, look how heroic I was playing with the bad knee. And look at what's been leaked out since the season ended, you know, from his people. He's been getting so beaten up that I think they felt like they needed to protect him. So they leaked out that he received treatment on his knee. What does that mean? He got a massage? He got ice on his knee? He didn't get the word treatment is a lot different than procedure. It's not like they stuck a needle in his knee or he had to get some kind of surgery. So everyone is kind of like running for cover right now because now that they got rid of the coach, the next people that are going to be on the hit list will be the players in terms of the criticism and the front office. Last year, Josh Hart was the toast of the town in New York, throwing out the first pitch. He's everywhere to be found. He asked out of the lineup, has he done a podcast yet? I know he loves doing a podcast. Why doesn't he do his podcast and explain how poorly he played against Indiana?
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll be doing that podcast soon, which everybody's going to be waiting to hear from both him and Jalen Brunson as far as the Knicks now with their new head coach, or with without Tom Thibodeau looking for a new head coach. We're talking with Frank Isola. You can catch him on SiriusXM, starting lineup, ESPN, Yes Network, covering the Nets as well. Did you see this report, Frank? I started the show talking about this with the Hoops Wire, had the report about players, multiple players on the Knicks, being unhappy with the presence of Rick Brunson. Give me your thoughts on Brunson's presence and maybe what that report could mean there for the Knicks moving forward.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, right? So I think if you went around to every team in the league and you gave the players truth serum, I bet you a lot of them would say, I can't stand our head coach. I can't stand that one assistant coach. So I think the fact that he happens to be related to the star player on the team, I don't really understand what the issue would be. It certainly didn't prevent Jalen Brunson from having two great seasons back-to-back. It certainly didn't prevent Karl Anthony Towns from having a great season. It didn't prevent OG Anunoby from having his best season in the NBA. And it didn't prevent Josh Hart from becoming setting the single season record for triple-doubles by a Knick player. So I think that, see, this is kind of the vacuum that you have now. Now that the coach is gone, and now it's everyone's kind of looking for stories and every little thing, everyone's going to get called out. I'm not so sure. You know, Rick Brunson, you've got to remember this too. It's not like the Knicks hired Rick Brunson so they could get Jalen Brunson to come to the team. Rick had worked basically, I think he worked 1 year with George Karl in Denver, if I'm not mistaken. But he's been Tom's guy. Tom had him as a player. He's known him since, I think, Rick was in high school up in Massachusetts. And, you know, Rick worked with Tom in Chicago. He worked with him in Minnesota. He worked with him in New York. So that's been part of his coaching staff. So I think whatever players are probably saying that are probably the weak-minded guys that are just looking to deflect blame from themselves.
Do you think then that Rick Brunson would stay on regardless of who the Knicks hire as the next head coach?
Well, that'll be interesting to see because, you know, the Knicks didn't give Tom full control over his staff. You know, they placed a couple of coaches on there. He did eventually get most of his guys on the staff. So, you know, I don't know if it's Johnny Bryan, if it's Jason Kidd, if it's fill in the blank. I think you have to leave it up to that coach to decide. But here's the thing, too, the risk that you run. You know, Jalen likes having his father around. Right. And nobody is harder on Jalen than Rick is. It's not like Rick is sitting around blaming everyone. I mean, he gets on Jalen a lot. From everything I heard, he was really ticked off at Jalen after game one. If you go back to the final 14 seconds when he passes the ball to Karl Anthony Towns, and he should have run to get it back. Because in that moment, you'd feel a lot more confident with Jalen Brunson at the free throw line. Now, it's still on Karl to make two free throws. He missed one. And then a few seconds later, OG Anunoby went one of two. So that, you know, like Rick doesn't sit there with his son and say, you know what, it's the other 14 knuckleheads that are blame, and you're completely blameless here. You know, he's actually good for his son. And again, let's look at the results. Like, it's just weird how we always want to make it about everything else. And it goes back to Jeff Van Gundy's famous quote from more than 20 years ago. If they can't get you on results, they'll get you on relationships. And I think that's the case here with Rick. I certainly think it's the case with Tom. You can't complain about the results. So now everyone's going to complain about the offense that he runs. They were top five offense, by the way. Defensively, they don't get after it. Well, they do start two guys that aren't great defensive players. No one is going to bring up, well, they beat Boston. They won 50 games. They made it to the conference finals first time in 25 years. That, there's no debating. So that's why everyone focuses on everything else.
And I do think that's why most Knicks fans are upset with this one. All right, you mentioned Jeff Van Gundy. He would be my number one choice. I've been begging for it forever. Do you think, first, Jeff Van Gundy would be interested, and then, second, would the Knicks be interested in him?
I think the Knicks would definitely be interested in him. How could you not be? You know, Jeff did a really good job as Ty Lue's assistant coach this year. He and Ty Lue get along great. I know Tom has Jeff has a really good relationship with the owner, Steve Ballmer. Whether Jeff would move in after Tom left, because the two of them are really, really close. That's the part which I would have to let Jeff speak for himself, but I find that one a little hard to believe. Just with the way that it ended with Tom, I don't know if Jeff, who's one of his best friends, would all of a sudden go to, even though Jeff wants a head coaching job, and it's a joke that people don't hire him, because, you know, everybody now, they go for like the much younger guy. We had a guy call up our radio show today and said, you know, he wants Johnny Bryant because younger guys relate better to the players. And I said, well, how's it working out for Rick Carlisle? It's just a matter of whether or not you can coach. Like, no, don't give me all this. Like, the players, you know what the players care about? That you can make them better so you can get paid. So if you're 100 years old and you help the player do that, they'll call you a player's coach.
And what's,
if you're 32 years old and fight with the players and they don't get better and you lose, they're not going to say, you know what, I had a really good relationship with him. He's a cool guy. They're not going
to
say
that. The age should have nothing to do with it. And Van Gundy is as likable as an individual as there is around the NBA. Do you know his relationship with Leon Rose and or Jalen Brunson, Van Gundy?
Well, he's known. I mean, Jalen was, you know, kicking around the Knick locker room all the way back in 99. Right. And you have to remember, too, like Jeff and Rick Brunson, you know, we're very close when Rick was a player.
Right.
He was, you know, the last guy on the roster. You know, it was almost like he was part of the coaching staff. And Rick had this way about him where, you know, he hung around with Marcus Camby and Latrell Sprewell, who were almost like the renegades. I don't mean that in a bad way, like the renegades on the team. But Rick also had a good relationship with Patrick Ewing. He also had a good relationship with Allen Houston. He also had a good relationship with Charlie Ward. Like Rick, like maybe even back then, was thinking like a coach. He knew how to maintain. The locker room was kind of never divided in this weird way because of Larry Johnson and because of Rick, just like the way Rick kind of meshed the older guys with the younger guys together and really made it work.
What about Rick being a head coach at some point? Maybe not here for this spot. You think Rick wants to be a head coach and potentially leave Jalen? Or is there any chance he gets this job?
I don't know. I think a lot of guys know that that's a tough job, being a head coach. And I think kind of he enjoys his role now. I remember a few years ago him saying, oh, eventually at some point I'll become a scout. I think like he obviously wants to be part of it, you know, as a head coach. You know, everybody always says they wouldn't do it, and then they get offered a job, and then they take the job. So I'm not so sure about that one.
All right, so Van Gundy's realistic, right? He would be my first choice. I don't know. You have more insight than I do. That's why I'm asking you, but at least he's realistic. You were the first person I saw mention the next guy's name, Jason Kidd. He would be my second choice if I had to, because I want experience, familiarity with New York. Him and Brunson get along together. What do you think about the possibility of Jason Kidd becoming the Knicks' next head coach?
Yeah, and I think it kind of tells you that the Knicks really didn't have a plan, because at first, when you heard Tom was fired, that people started mentioning replacements. It was Chris Finch, Ime Udoka, Jason Kidd. All those guys are under contract. Even Jeff Van Gundy's under contract with another team. I think Jason Kidd is an excellent coach. He knows the market. I think he had a pretty good relationship with Jim Dolan when he was here. Casey Smith is like the head of performance for the Knicks, who was in Dallas for a really long time, knows Jason. And then, like you said, Jason has a good relationship with Rick Brunson, whether or not Jalen Brunson. Now, whether or not they could get him is another story. I mean, you know, Dallas was a team that was really, you know, in the sewer, so to speak. And then look what happened. They win the number one overall pick. So now you're looking at Cooper Flagg.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
With Anthony Davis and Kyrie, you think he's eventually going to come back at some point next season. Dallas could have a really good team. So could they blow him out of the water? Would have to give compensation? Yes. But you know, it's also funny too. And if you went around the league and you picked out any coach, Sal, and you want to make a positive, you want to make a case for why he'd be a good hire, or you want to make a positive why he'd be bad, and it's a negative thing and maybe should even be fired. Like, think about Jason Kidd. So everyone talked about the Knicks being run into the ground, right? So this year, Dallas had Luka, missed a ton of games with a calf injury. Kyrie Irving blew out his knee. Anthony Davis got hurt in his first game. Derek Lively missed a long time with an injury, and Daniel Gafford missed a long time with an injury. So no one ever brings that stuff up. Everybody always makes it seem like there's only one team where guys get hurt, when it happens all over the league. And the funny thing is, this year, the Knicks were healthy. It wasn't Jason. They didn't have Jason Tatum blowing out his Achilles. They didn't have Steph Curry pulling a hamstring in game one. You know, injuries happen all the time. It's just interesting with Jason Kidd that, you know, wasn't there the one game where they almost didn't have enough guys to play because so many guys were banged up. So my thing is, the fans think there's this ideal, perfect coach out there that's going to, that everything is going to work out perfectly. Just be careful with that. That doesn't exist.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll talk with Frank. I saw a couple more for you, Frank. Johnny Bryant, you think? Now, for me, I'd go nuts if it's a head coach without experience. I know that that's happened in some spots where there was success. People keep talking about Steve Kerr. Yeah, there's a big difference between where the Knicks were at and where Steve Kerr took over. But what do you think of Johnny Bryant as a potential next head coach for the Knicks?
You know, it's weird. I always have kind of this like soft spot for the assistant coach who didn't play in the NBA and really has to kind of defy the odds. And I mean, you know, Chuck Daly became a Hall of Fame coach. And then you have the Knicks' most recent coach didn't play in the NBA. And the coach before that was really successful was Jeff Van Gundy, who also didn't play in the NBA. So like part of you wants to root for Johnny Bryant. Now, you know, some of the reports that I got on him are somewhat lukewarm. And I just laugh at when people say, you know, I'd love to see Ime Udoka, Jason Kidd, or Johnny Bryant. What do you know about Johnny Bryant? What do you know about him? I mean, he's never been a head coach in the league before. So he could turn out to be a prodigy. He could turn out to be a great coach, or he could turn out to be a disaster. It's not like you can't put him in the group of Ime Udoka, Jason Kidd, and Jeff Van Gundy. They have a proven track record. So you would be handing over a team to a guy that's never coached, and the bar has now been set by the franchise. They won 10 games, and that wasn't good enough in the playoffs. So next year, you know, you're walking into a situation where you have to win 11 games. Now, you could say maybe we'll give the coach a honeymoon period, but the bar has been set. So next year, like for the players who Tom took bullets for them all year long, did you ever hear Tom throw a player under the bus? So next year, this is a lot of it's going to be on the players. A lot of it's going to be on the front office. I don't know. Would they give it to a guy that's never been a head coach at any level to take over a team that they believe could be a championship team?
You think Tibbs wanted Carl Anthony Towns or just went along for the ride?
No. Tom just wants good players. That all that stuff with, you know, Tom having a falling out with Carl Anthony Towns. You know, Carl became an all-star for the first time under Tom. Tom's not like that. If a player's had an issue with him in the past, so Jimmy Butler, remember the whole thing with Jimmy Butler, where Jimmy Butler got mad at the owner of Minnesota, Glenn Taylor, because he tried to, he offered him a contract because it wasn't the full max. So then Jimmy Butler, as he's prone to do, acted like an immature baby and, you know, basically was protesting until they traded him. And he really undermined the season, and he really undermined the coach that had brought him to Minnesota, the guy that developed him into a terrific player in Chicago. The next year, when Tom is out of the league, or 2 years later, when Tom is out of the league and Jimmy Butler's in Miami, Tom's like spending a week in Miami hanging out with Jimmy Butler. You know, so he's not, like, I don't know, he looks at that part of it like it's a business. So with Carl, he thought that Carl could make the team better, and he was all for the trade. Now, he liked Julius Randle. He liked Dante DiVincenzo. But you name the player. You know, if Kevin Durant became available, Tom would say, yeah, let's try to do that. He's great. We'll make it work somehow. I don't think he ever looks at it as if Kevin Durant, oh, my God, he can end up getting me fired. He doesn't look at it like that. I think the fans don't get that. Tom is just competitive, and he wants to win. And if he feels like he has the players that can help him win, and let's face it, they went further than last year's team did. So the trade from that standpoint worked out. I get it. Everyone's treating it like it's a failure because, you know, the 25-year-old Knick fan knows what it takes to win in New York. The coach who's in his 60s doesn't. I get it. They think it's a failure. I mean, you're pretty smart, so you've been around a long time. It's a disappointing finish to the season, no question about it. The season is not a failure, I'm sorry.
I haven't seen it in 25 years, for goodness sake. I mean, come on. I'm old enough to remember when the Knicks were good, when this was a constant thing. They finally got it back, and now they move on. All right, two more for you, Frank. Does Tibbs get another job? Would he take another job in the NBA as a head coach?
Oh, I think he would take another one. Whether or not he gets one, you know, it's tough. I mean, you have so many, you know, owners have to sign off on things. You got all these guys in the front office. Look at the Phoenix job. You know, Jordan Ott, you know, hopefully it works out for him. Again, another assistant coach that's bounced around a little bit and finally getting a break. You know, he's taking over, you know, a team that really struggled. Kevin Durant probably won't be there. What's the connection? Jordan Ott worked for Tom Izzo at Michigan State. Who played for Tom Izzo at Michigan State? Matt Ishbia, the owner of the Phoenix Suns, who was a walk-on there. So there's a connection. There always has to be. I don't think Jordan Ott is getting hired by the Phoenix Suns unless there was some kind of connection to Matt Ishbia and also to Tom Izzo. So I think wherever Tom goes, I think the team's going to be successful because if you look at his run in Chicago, turn that around, turn Minnesota around, turn the New York Knicks around. Whether or not, you know, a front office is going to want to do that remains to be seen. I would hire him if I'm some of these teams that are constantly losing, and that's why I got to give Leon Rose credit. You know, Leon Rose, you know, his first hire was going to be Tom, and Tom did a really good job for the Knicks and Leon Rose, and that's why Leon Rose should have come out after the season. Instead of having exit interviews, listen to the players. They should have celebrated the year that they had and be happy and be proud about it like most teams would be. I mean, they made the Final Four. Like, being one of the last four teams in the NBA is pretty good, especially when one of the wins that you had was knocking off the defending champs.
Yeah, and especially for a franchise that hasn't done it in so long. Yeah. Do you have any issue with the Knicks partying? I don't know if you saw that exclusive with the Post. They had all the pictures. Knicks partying basically 24 hours after getting bounced by the Pacers.
Nah, I think, you know, the players are, you know, it's a long season. It's a grind. I don't mind stuff like that. I mean, I think I always look at professional athletes like this. You know, I've been in a lot of losing locker rooms. I mean, I was in I remember being in the Pirates locker room with Barry Bonds after they lost that crazy game to the Atlanta Braves. That was the Sid Breen.
Francisco Cabrera.
Cabrera, yeah. You know, Barry Bonds is basically crying. It's like, you know, this unbelievable player who struggled again. I think in that moment, the players are upset, but I think what makes him great is, you know, they leave and it's like, okay, now we have to move on. And it's fine if they blow off steam. I think if those pictures came out after game five and they were partying after they won game five and maybe not solely focused on game six, maybe that would be an issue. But the season is over. I mean, you know, today at 5:00, a lot of people are going to get off work. I mean, your producers are probably always out partying too. So when they get off work, they're going to go out and take it easy. So we're going to take pictures of those guys. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow on my radio show.
All right. That was really a setup to what I wanted to finish with here. Do you think Ewing and the boys were partying after the missed finger roll in 1995?
All right. I think it's also different. We're also in the Instagram age, so you know, maybe they were doing it, but nobody was really taking pictures.
Hey, you were around that team. You knew those guys as well as anybody. You think Patrick Ewing, John Starks, Charles Oakley, those guys were partying after Game 7 at Miss Finger Roll in 1995?
Well, if they were, I wish they would invite me. I would have liked to hang out with some of those parties. I can only imagine what was going on. Listen, it was a bit of a different generation, and you know, when you were, I mean, I still remember being in the locker room in 2000, and you'll remember this, Sal. You know, the last time the Knicks made the conference finals. And that ended up being, you know, that game six against Indiana ended up being Patrick's last ever game in a Knick uniform. And that was the series in that game where the crowd was groaning a lot when he would catch the ball. So even though Patrick was playing less minutes, taking less shots per game, he was still getting most of the blame. And the image of him sitting with the ice on his knees and his feet in a bucket and just looking like completely beaten down, that like, what do people want from me? Like, I took on a lesser role and I'm still the guy getting destroyed. He didn't say that, but you could tell that that's how he felt. So I don't think that that night Patrick went out after a game. That's for sure. But that image of him always sticks out because it's a lot different today. You'd like this. I told him a few weeks ago when I saw him at a game, I said, you came along at the wrong time. I said, the way it is today, we're not allowed to criticize players anymore. We have to give all the players a safe space. I said, now the coach only gets blamed. I said, you blew it, dude. You never should have been born in Michael Jordan's era. And if you were born now, you'd make more money and you wouldn't get any blame. People would say, you got to give Patrick his safe space. In fact, you'd get canceled for criticizing Patrick. Yeah, he agreed with me.
Yeah, that is tremendous. He is Frank Isola, author of the first book that I ever read, Just Born, The Chaotic Rise. Yeah, I love that book, Frank, and I love you. Thank you for the time. We appreciate the insight. We'll talk to you soon.
You're the best. Say goodbye. Say hello to my boy, BT.
Will do. BT is off today. I'll tell him you said hello. All right, there you have it. Frank Isola giving the insight there with the Knicks.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.